You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, formerly Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 95.
A word or a sentence, there ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come, set me free.
Hi, this is Rod Murray, glad to be back. That was a teaser from Ain't No Reason by young singer-songwriter Brett Denon. His songs have been featured on several TV shows, including House, Scrubs, Grey's Anatomy. I heard that song on House, about a year or so ago, and I was able to find it on Music Alley. That's the service I use to find my PodSafe music. I eventually bought the album because I liked his music so much. He reminds me a bit of Bob Dylan in his lyrics, but of course with a much better voice. I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. Some of you may not know that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. Just open up iTunes and do a store search for Rod's Pulse Podcast. Podcast episodes will then be automatically downloaded to your Mac or your PC and synced to your iPod or your other player. You can also subscribe via email and view my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. Well, let's move on to my main topic today, Moodle and Moodle Rooms. Today, I'll be interviewing Lou Pugliese. He's the chairman and CEO of Moodle Rooms Incorporated. We'll try to answer the questions, what is open source? What is Moodle? What is Moodle Rooms? And what does Moodle Rooms add to Moodle? And what are some of the educational benefits that distinguish Moodle Rooms and Moodle from other competition in the learning management system space? So without further ado, here's my interview with Lou Pugliese. Well, I'm here with Lou Pugliese. He's the chairman and CEO of Moodle Rooms. Very fortunate to have some of his time today, and I'd like to start out by welcoming you, Lou, to my podcast. And if you want to give a little background about yourself and your company, that would be great.
Sure. So I've been a CEO of Moodle Rooms since February. Been with the company for a little bit under a year. And Moodle Rooms is an organization that is the largest global managed services and software provider for Moodle, the largest international global LMS software in the world in terms of adoption. And so we add value, transition institutions from their current platform to a new open source platform. We provide enhancements and support to make them successful in their e-learning environments.
For some of my audience who tend to be faculty, some administrators, they may not be familiar with exactly what open source is. Could you just review for them a little bit? What do we mean by open source and why is that a benefit?
Sure. Open source software in general and in LMS is software that can be freely downloaded by anyone for free and have an open source, what we call GPL license for anyone to use, customize, you know, enhance, host on site in their own facilities.
And Moodle, of course, is one of the main open source LMSs that I'm familiar with. I know there are probably a few others, including Sakai. How would you rank Moodle and contrast it with Sakai, for example?
Well, Moodle is a product that has been around for about 8 years, and it's open source from the perspective of many different types of institutions using it. So you've got everywhere from, you know, K to 20 corporate training learning organizations, institutional building level K-12 institutions. It's a very broad-based program that's been very accepted, you know, from a broad-based e-learning perspective. There are roughly about 58 million end users using Moodle itself, Moodle Core, roughly in 212 countries. The program itself has been translated into a series of language packs that end users can use and plug in that translate the program itself into almost 85 languages. So it's very broad-based, very global in nature. Sakai is a great open source program that's been largely developed by the R1 institution markets here in the United States, and is also a very seminal example of the growth of open source.
Okay, with that background, I understand that certainly Moodle itself has no licensing fee. Why would someone decide to go with Moodle Rooms, your company, to help them with Moodle?
Mainly for two reasons. One, the software that comes with Moodle has a number of features and functions that do compete or are on parity with commercial institutional software, but we create significant enhancements to that software that allow the software to perform in ways it wouldn't normally perform. So on the administrative side, we've been able to take Moodle, which is in a little bit more of a complicated LAMP stack architecture, a Linux-based architecture, and been able to stand up an instance remotely hosted in the cloud for a very inexpensive rate for institutions to be able to adopt. So it's a complicated, what would typically be an on-premise hosting, have really gone to institutions, have gone to people like Moodle and service providers to do all of the hosting. So for two reasons: one, application specifically that we've enhanced, and two, predominantly providing a stable, secure enterprise instance of Moodle for an entire institution that allows them to grow their e-learning environment without having to add staff and software and development capabilities that are quite complicated in many cases.
So your primary business model then is to host Moodle for other institutions. What if an institution wants to host it themselves? Do you still help them with something like that?
So we do. There are institutions that want to own and operate and run their Moodle instance. There are some that want to have it on-premise, and we have an on-premise solution that we can still manage with some of our enhancements that also can be used at the institutional level from an enterprise perspective. So we have both models, one remotely hosted, and we can also do an on-premise model version of that as well.
Well, just out of curiosity, what's the breakdown in with your clients? What percentage do you host it, for example?
It's the majority. It's over, I would say, 95-96% of our clients have us host it and add our enhancements, mainly because they want the features of what our enhancements are that wrap around Moodle, which are called Joule. And these are self-developed applications that we've put in place that add value. Plus, we can host it at a fraction of the cost when you consider total cost of operation that an institution would normally have to do it on site.
What sort of enhancements do you add to sort of the out-of-the-box learning management system?
So there are some administrative functions, and there's also some academic features as well. So the administrative functions are all about connectivity. So we've created a series of technologies that allow institutions to easily connect without having to write APIs and integration from the ground up to third-party applications. So it would be, in this case, student system or finance or enrollment or whatever it might be that exists at a university already. Our product there is called Conduit, and it's a series of integration applications that allow us to easily integrate in ways that you wouldn't have to send somebody on site and look at the code and rewrite the API to connect and test it. We've already got that spun up and written. We've got a remote provisioning technology that allows us to configure a course website or an entire enterprise website in the way that an institution would want. We have a series of designer tools that allows an institution or us to be able to design the UI application, the user experience, the navigation in the way that an institution would want. So when they're moving from one to the other, it's congruent in terms of the way the software would operate. We have a series of other applications for course conversion, so we can course convert native other applications, you know, from Blackboard or others into the native Moodle environment fairly easily. Security provisioning tools, things that keep the enterprise application secure in their own environment on site. And so those are some of the administrative applications. On the app, on the academic applications, a good example would be a product that we've developed called Personal Learning Designer. And what PLD for short does is basically allow educators and faculty members to go through a series of triggers and alerts to allow them to monitor their students' progress, their persistence. We've done a series of reporting applications, some adaptive learning tools that allow faculty members to audit a student's behaviors online and be able to target certain actions and certain content for remediation. So a variety of different academic tools. There's also some other tools that we also have in the mobile technology and the content repository area as well. So we've really looked at what types of enhancements that institutions need, built many of them, partnered with some to create a very complete 360-degree enterprise stack.
That's a mouthful. That's a lot. Let me just try to break it down to a couple different areas that you know, my audience might be concerned with. For example, can Moodle itself or with your add-ons be used as an e-portfolio product for their students?
We have a third-party e-portfolio product that we've developed alongside University of Minnesota, and we put that in place and integrated that. We can also, you know, obviously integrate with other open source applications like Mahara as well. Mahara would be an open source e-portfolio platform that's used, you know, fairly frequently, fairly globally.
Now, I know in Blackboard, which I'm a little bit more familiar with, they have their building block program that allows third parties to add enhancements. How do you add your enhancements? Is this something that's put into open source, or is it proprietary to subscribers of Moodle Rooms? Does Moodle have its own sort of building block-like way to expand its functions?
So we do. I mean, we have a similar program called ADAPT, and ADAPT does a number of different things. ADAPT is like a building blocks program that integrates with third parties that a client might want to integrate with, so Echo 360, you know, or those types of add-on applications that we don't want to build or will never build. ADAPT also covers a wide variety of open source applications. So there are multitudes of open source applications, not unlike an app store, if you will, that the community develops. And that's what's the beauty of an open source environment, is that the community develops a series of applications that we certify. So we've taken, you know, thousands of applications, looked at them, and looked at what's most useful to institutions, and we have certified a series of applications that are open, you know, to educators and to institutions to be able to use freely, that integrate with our tool and, you know, fully, seamlessly, single sign-on will work, you know, for institutions who want to adopt those applications. So ADAPT covers both the proprietary outside software world, but it also covers the non-proprietary or open source in-source world. So we've tried to configure this in ways that institutions can use both the open source and, you know, and not open source proprietary applications. The other point I want to make is that many of the applications that we develop, we do put into the open source as well for the community to use.
Great. That's pretty interesting. I didn't realize all that was going on within Moodle and Moodle Rooms. Are there educational benefits of Moodle Rooms that would help to distinguish your product from the competition?
Well, yeah, I would say that there's a number of different advantages. When you think about Moodle Rooms, you also think about Moodle, which, you know, contains and is open to this 58 million user strong base, with a series of not only applications in the field, but developers who are developing for the open source community. So when it comes to connecting, if you're an end user, a faculty member, and you want to, you know, basically apply a particular unit of learning that you want advice and counsel on, you know, in the open source world, or if you want to, you're seeking applications or you're seeking advice and counsel on how to execute your particular program, you've got an entire, you know, worldwide global audience that, you know, participates together. And so I think what's interesting about this is that even though it may not seem like this to the end user, the open source environments, you know, are created from a demand source. In other words, it's not a proprietary vendor deciding what an end user wants and should have. It's really, you know, working at the best interest of an end user because the end user community has created it or demanded it, right? So the Moodle core group in, you know, in Australia have, you know, have really worked really hard at pulling together the best and brightest people in the world and gather information about what the institutions want and have built it accordingly and can turn on a dime when it comes to, you know, fixes and patches and corrections as well as long-term product roadmap. So that's one element of it. I think the other element of it is at Moodle Rooms here in particular, we're developing and have developed a very strong services component. So when institutions want to move from their proprietary platform to an open source world, we have the ability to easily execute and transition, but more importantly, sort of be online, you know, consultants, if you will, over the long haul and transitioning them from one platform to the other. And if they want to shape it over the long haul in ways that they want to shape it, it's much easier, much more easily shaped with a Moodle environment. It, you know, it's backed by a PHP type of code base, very easy to write. You can shape it in different blocks and modules according to you want, what you want. You can take an individual program and shape a core, you know, code base to what you want. You can only get the types of modules and blocks that you want, whereas proprietary vendors, you know, sell you an entire platform, and whether you use pieces of it or not, you still have to buy it. So we're basically taking configurations from institution to institution and shaping it the way that an institution would want.
Someone asked me this question, which I wasn't sure how to answer. How does an open source project like Moodle finance itself? What's in it for them? How does it sustain itself financially if there's no cost to the license?
So there are 53 Moodle partners that are service provider partners throughout the world. All of those pay some percentage of their fees back to the open source to create a self-sustaining development environment. So the fees that we charge institutions, much of it goes back to the open source. So we don't necessarily have a profit motivation initially. It's really about, you know, self-sustaining this open source environment. You know, do we need to be, you know, fiscally responsible in our business? Absolutely. But much of our fees go back to royalties to the core to self-sustain that open source environment.
I see. Interesting. Listen, one more question. I know we're almost out of time. What's coming down the pike? What's exciting that you see as the next best thing coming down in the LMS area?
Well, I think it's certainly everybody in the marketplace isn't looking for a different type of metaphor for e-learning. I think we're into a next generation sort of period where there's going to be a transition from how we define e-learning today or in terms of how we define e-learning in the future. And that's, again, what's nice about open source is we can manipulate the software in ways that are more innovative than others as opposed to having to rewrite code. So we see a lot of opportunity in the outcomes in the analytics area as the stakes for e-learning continue to raise the bar. We see a significant opportunity in work that we're doing with publishers and targeting publishers to individual learning needs. So there's a significant amount of opportunity there and work that we're doing in that space. And in the reporting area in particular, and understanding behaviors of students online and shaping the online experience to an individual profile into an individual end user. You know, if you subscribe to Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you subscribe and get what you want. We believe that, you know, a student profile, student-oriented e-learning management system is something that the market's looking for, you know, in the future to make it more teacher-focused and more student-centric. And that's the kind of thing that we're working on.
Speaking of that, I guess one more thing. Is Moodle or your version of it compatible with an iPad?
It is. From a browser-based perspective, it works seamlessly in a browser-based environment. We are working on a series of tools and applications that are application-based or app-based for the, you know, for the iPad as well. But we see most of the usage in our survey where students or faculty are using, you know, the iPad or those types of devices, even mobile handhelds where they're trying to access web-based information and notifications. And we see that getting more sophisticated over time, certainly. But right now, we're testing this into a browser-based environment.
Great. Well, listen, thank you very much, Lou, for taking your time. It was a very eloquent review of, I think, of Moodle and Moodle Rooms. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I hope you learned a lot about the advantages of Moodle and Moodle Rooms. It certainly seems to be a very viable alternative to some of the more expensive learning management systems out there. As always, I'll post the links to all of my resources we discuss on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Please stay tuned for Ain't No Reason by Brett Denon. Until next time, have a great week.
There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day. Preachers on the podium speaking of saints. Prophets on the sidewalk begging for change. Old ladies laughing from the fire escape, cursing my name. I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window in a pigeon with a broken wing. You can spend your whole life working for something just to have it taken away. People walk around pushing back their debts, wearing paychecks like necklaces and bracelets. Talking about nothing, not thinking about death. Every little heartbeat, every little breath. People walk a tightrope on a razor's edge, carrying that hurt and hatred and weapons. It could be a bomb or a bullet or a pen, or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come, set me free. Love will come, set me free. I do believe. Love will come, set me free. I know it will. Love will come, set me free. Yes. Prison walls still standing tall. Some things never change at all. Keep on building prisons, gonna fill them all. Keep on building bombs, gonna drop them all. Working your fingers bare to the bone. Breaking your back, make you sell your soul. Like a lung, it's filled with cold. Suffocating slow. The wind blows wild and I may move. But politicians lie and I am not fooled. You don't need no raisin or a three-piece suit to argue the truth. The air on my skin and the world under my toes. Slavery stitched to the fabric of my clothes. Chaos and commotion wherever I go. Love I try to follow. Love will come set me free. Love will come set me free. I do believe. Love will come set me free. I know it will. Love will come set me free. Yes. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.